We have a few announcements. The Giving Tree, it went so well last week, we ran out of tags. So that's a praise to you guys and all that you've done. So we've added more tags on there. So if you didn't get one, you can go ahead and pick one of those up today. And then Saturday, December 13th, 9 a.m. to noon, we are doing a food box, the free food box. We're doing that. So we're going to need some volunteers to pack on that Friday, December 12th, from 6 to 9 p.m. So if you have any questions, you can check the website or something like that, right? Kelly? No, Kim. Sorry. My brain's off this morning, so it should be a good message. It should be good. The D-Kids Kids Program is coming. That is on Sunday, December 21st, during the worship service. The songs and everything coming. They'll be coming in during service and giving us a few songs, so that'll be a good time. And then Christmas Eve service is coming up on December 24th at 6:30 p.m. It'll be a candlelight service, and then we will have finger food and snacks afterwards. That is all the announcements that I had today. Did I miss anything, Leslie? If I seem off a little bit today, I was reflecting a little bit. I mean, 1 year ago this weekend, I strolled into Northern Michigan to give a sermon in front of people I didn't know, and then I was going to be voted on after that, which is not a fun feeling, let me tell you. But you guys said yes, so thank you for that. But yeah, it's been 1 year since that Sunday, so what a journey and what a ride we've been on for a year. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. And so I was just kind of like working through that and thinking through like how much life has changed in a year. And I was going back through like the attendance numbers. And I happened to look when we came, which was December 8th, to when we got here, which was the first week of March. It was 11 weeks. 11 weeks. My family and I sold a house, moved to the state. I mean, brought everything that we had up here in two U-Hauls, right, Sean, too? Yeah, he's not in here. He was so mad at me. He's like, you got so much stuff, dude. What are you doing? I'm like, dude, I got four kids, all under the age of 10. Zip it. But it was such a short amount of time from when we came up here to preach, and you guys said yes to us, to when we actually moved up here. And I think part of that was we wanted to get here so fast. Well, I wanted to get here so fast. I think Heidi wanted to slow down a little bit. She did make me promise that we couldn't do anything till after Christmas. So it wasn't technically 11 weeks that we started packing. But anyways, I'm not going anywhere with this, guys. I'm very thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be your pastor. We are loving it up here. And so thank you. Thank you. Now, on to the message. We're going to be in Micah 4. In chapter 5, starting at verse 2. So if you want to get your Bibles out, you can. And one of the things that I'm absolutely loving about Northern Michigan, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I love the winter. I really do. Maybe that's why I was built for Northern Michigan. But my son and I, we were walking around our property, and we were like in the back part where supposedly there's some deer back there, but I haven't seen any. No. So, anyways, we're walking around and there's snow everywhere. And this week we're talking about peace, right? And so there's this certain peace that comes from like sitting in a cold winter, the wind blowing, night coming on, and everything is just quiet and peaceful. And so I was doing that this week to kind of get a feeling of what like true peace like actually like looks like and feels like. And it comes from an unexpected place. Like you wouldn't think like out in the cold, freezing, nothing around, the wind blowing, snow drifting, everything, that you could actually find some peace in that. But for me, that's very like calming and peaceful. It's an unexpected place that I find peace. Now, that might not be the same for everyone. Like, some of you might be thinking, dude, you're crazy to sit out in the cold and think that's going to be peaceful. Where's the fire? Where's the hot cocoa? Where's the Christmas movies? Like, that's where I find my peace. And so peace looks different for all of us, but where do we find that unexpected peace in our life? So let's go through the Word. Micah 5, starting at verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephraim, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, will come from you on my behalf. The people of Israel will be abandoned to their enemies until the woman in labor gives birth. Then at last, his fellow countrymen will return from exile to their own land. And he will stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength in the majesty of his name of the Lord his God. Then his people will live there undisturbed, for he will be highly honored around the world. Verse 5, and he will be the source of peace. When the Assyrians invade our land and break through our defenses, we will appoint 7 rulers to watch over us, 8 princes to lead us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Good and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we get to share together. And Lord, I'm so thankful that we have this time and that we're gathered together, and thankful for all the people that are here today. And Lord, I just pray a special blessing on them. Those that are here, those that are watching online, that your spirit will be upon this place now. That you would guide us in this process, that you would lead us. And Lord, I pray that when I mess up, that you would clean it up in the ears of the people, so that it would only be your voice and your word that they hear today. We love you, we praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So the very first part, we're going to be looking at verses 2 through 3. And I really want to go slow with these first two verses, because I think they're really pivotal to unlocking the true goodness of this. Because when we look at that first part, it says, but you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathud, I had to look that one up, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel whose origins are in the distant past will come from you on my behalf. Like, there is a lot going on in verse 2. Now, for us, when we think of Bethlehem, we're like, that's awesome. We love Bethlehem. Only good things come from Bethlehem. Like, that's what we've been learning our whole lives. But the original audience, what this was written for, nothing good came from Bethlehem. Bethlehem was this small, insignificant city. And yet this insignificant city, there were 2 kings that came from it. 2. Originally, it was King David who came from Bethlehem. And then the King of Kings came from Bethlehem as well. And so this small, insignificant, unexpected place, peace came from it. If you look at 1 Samuel 16, verse 18, it says, one of the servants said to Saul, one of Jesse's sons from Bethlehem is a talented harp player. They add a lot of detail to this verse. Not only that, he's a brave warrior, a man of war, has good judgment. He's also a fine-looking young man, and the Lord is with him. If anyone could describe me as that, that'd be great. I would appreciate that. Thank you. But God's peace begins to grow when the world sees nothing. And how often, and maybe you felt this in your own life, is that when you get this sense of peace that comes over you, it comes from this lowly place. It starts in an insignificant place. It might even be like a short text that someone sends to you. That in this moment of chaos in your life, this text from a friend or whatever it is, they send and it's just a, hey, I'm thinking about you. Hey, I'm praying for you. And you told them nothing that was going on in your life, right? They didn't know the chaos that was before you at that moment. Yet you got that small text or that phone call that just brought this sense of peace. And so from this small, insignificant city begins this path of peace for the world. It starts in this lowly, lowly place. And now, like, we can see the full picture because we can read all of Scripture. But when Micah is making this prophecy, I mean, people are like, I don't know, dude. Are you sure? Bethlehem? That's where you want to go from? Did you read that correctly? Did you hear it from God correctly? And as we found out, yes, he did hear it correctly. You are only a small village among the people of Judah, yet a ruler of Israel whose origins are in the distant past will come from you on my behalf. Now, this is an interesting section because it's twofold. A ruler that came from the distant past was King David. Like the prophecy is leaning into King David and the here and now. So for the audience, they would have understood that a leader from the distant past would be King David. But Mike is going even further than that. He's saying that the leader from the distant past was pre-existent. Right? You with me here? The leader that is to come has already been with God from the beginning. This is where the truth of the prophecy is found. Because we have to look at this prophecy twofold, because there's a very real danger going on in the split kingdom. The Assyrians are on the borders and they're ready to come and take over. It's not too long after this prophecy that the northern kingdom gets taken. And only the southern kingdom is left of Judah and Benjamin. Like, this is a very real threat that is going on. This is not a peaceful moment that is happening for the Israelites. I was having this conversation this morning. I think it was with Dan. I'm like, there's only so many places you can go during the Christmas season to talk about peace. He said, did you know I almost read this verse to start Advent? And I said, well, I mean, where else? There's only a couple spots you can go, right? But we often elevate this section of Micah and we think about all the wonderful things that come with Christmas and the baby Jesus and everything's perfect and the Christmas tree and the mistletoe and the snow is falling and it's a white Christmas. Like, what this prophecy is talking about is not pretty and peaceful. Like, the lives that they are living are in complete chaos. Their kingdom has been split into two. And their enemies are at the doorsteps. And Micah and Isaiah are living in similar times and writing at similar times. So the things that we read in Isaiah match up with Micah. Like, it's not a good time. It's not a peaceful time. And to say that this prophecy is coming, it's a hard thing to see. Now, why do I say all this? Because we don't obviously live in that time, right? Are there moments in your life that you don't feel peaceful? Are there moments in your life where it feels like things are fractured and split? Are there moments in your life when you feel like your enemies are right at your doorstep? This prophecy is for you. This prophecy of peace to come is for you because it's coming on whose behalf? It's coming on my behalf. So the one that was pre-existent with me is becoming on my behalf. Did you catch that small triune God language in there?
Yes.
You did. Someone was pumped about that. I was as well. Isn't it amazing how God just like slips that right in there? And you'll hear people say they don't talk about the triune God in Scripture. It's just made up. It's right there. In this prophecy, the one who was to come already is, and he's coming on my behalf. God the Father is declaring that the Son will be coming on his behalf to bring the ultimate peace to the world. This is a promise, a covenantal promise that God is giving to the people. He's saying, yes, David came for you guys, and he was a great leader. But there's a peace that's coming that's bigger than David. It's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Matthew 2, verse 5. And this is the scribes are saying this to Herod. In Bethlehem in Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd of my people in Israel. The prophecy is fulfilled in the baby Jesus. It's a difficult section of the scripture there. And it's very dense, right? It's hard to wrap our minds around that. But I think if we continue to go forward, it'll make more sense. Micah 5:4 says this, and he, speaking of Jesus, will stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. Our next point is this. Peace isn't the absence of problems. It is found in the presence of God's strength. And he, the one who is promised, will stand to lead his flock. This is a common biblical motif that is used is this idea of a shepherd coming to shepherd the sheep. Hopefully you're not offended to be known as sheep, because they are pretty dumb. But aren't we pretty dumb on occasion? Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for his sheep. He's going to stand and lead his flock. Jesus is going to stand for all of us and lead us. But listen to the next part of the verse, because that's the important part. Stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength. Did you catch it again? The Trinity? It's right there again. Saying that Jesus can't stand and lead on his own, but with the Father. That all of this is together, that God will be leading through his Son. That God will be leading through the embodiment, the flesh that came to earth, the source of ultimate peace that came to this world. He's going to lead on the strength of the Lord. How many times when we try to lean on our own strength and our own understanding do we fail? I know for me, when I try to lead myself, I often fail. If I were to try to lead this church on my own, I would fail. See, what this prophecy is talking about and what we have to understand is there this order of life. That if we are to find true peace, it's under submission of God. Even in this moment, the Son of God is submitting to the Father to lead through his presence and his power. And so when we feel the chaos going on in our life, when things aren't going right, when we're having difficulties, are we leading ourselves or are we submitting to the true peace that comes from Christ? Are we allowing the presence of God in our life to submit to that, to say, I trust you, Lord, and that true peace is only found in Jesus? That when I try to do it myself and I try to lead myself, I find myself astray. But when I submit myself under the presence of God, that is when I try and find my true peace. When we often fall out of alignment, it's because we want to manipulate or we want to control it. See, I had mentioned that sheep are dumb. And then as a good pastor, I called you dumb. But I was including myself in that as well. Humans can manipulate. They'll teach you in seminary. All right. But we often try to manipulate the situation or control it so much to say that, you know what? I got this. I can handle this. This is no big deal. Or we start to go down a slippery path and we say, oh, it's just once. Not a big deal. We start to say the most famous line for any addict that you'll find. It's only one time. Or this is the last time. When we try to control and manipulate the situation, there is a lack of peace that is in our spirit. And it is only when we submit to God and we come under his leadership, his shepherd leadership that they're talking about in this prophecy, only then is our life in alignment with him. And only then will we find our true peace. I'm trying paper notes today, guys, so I don't know how it's going. Going all right? You guys are really serious today. I like it. This is good. So if we're talking about peace that only comes from Jesus, and that we have to submit to God, right? That's a hard thing for humans to do. Like to say that I'm will, especially as a man, I don't know, females, maybe you can chime in this, but I'm just going to speak from a man's perspective. It's really hard for us as men to submit to anything because we like to manipulate and control our situations. I figured I would get an amen from the women here, but I guess not. Okay. That's just how men are. We find it difficult to submit. We are sheep. That's true. Darren just called all you men dumb. I don't know if you just caught that. Remember, put it on yourself. But we have this difficult time of relinquishing that control. But as someone who is a follower of Christ and someone who has submitted his life to Christ, I can tell you personally, there's no greater feeling in life than submitting your life to Christ. Because the prophecy that is spoken of in Micah is true. When we submit to Christ as the ultimate source of our peace, guess what happens? We find peace. Now, it's not necessarily a peace that we see like on a TV or anything like that. It's a different kind of peace. Isn't that funny how it often works, like in Scripture? It's like you don't always get the perfect picture of peace. You don't always get the perfect picture of hope. You don't always get the perfect picture of joy, at least what you think you should get. But God gives you exactly what you need at that moment. That peace in your life may look different today than peace in your life 10 years down the road. Like what you need for peace today, God is saying might be different than here. But for this moment in this time in your life, this is what peace looks like. And we only get there if we submit and dwell in the presence of the Lord. Micah 5:4. 4b, then, very important connecting word, then his people will live there undisturbed, for he will be highly honored around the world. Our next point is this: we find peace when we stop leading ourselves. I just love that connecting word. Anytime you see a word like then like that, you have to go back to the beginning of the verse, right? You have to go back to the beginning of the verse. And he will stand and lead his flock with the Lord's strength in the majesty of his name and the Lord his God. Then, when we submit to Christ, then you will dwell in peace. That's what verse 4 is talking about. Is when we get to that place of submission, we get the benefits. We get to dwell in the peace of Christ. If you are willing to take that step and to say, God, I trust that you sent your son to be the ultimate source of peace, that I'm willing to submit my life to him, then I will dwell in the presence of the Lord and peace will come. I don't like to be out of control. I don't know if you guys feel the same way. There's something about it. I don't enjoy that thought of being out of control. But following Christ, to truly follow Christ, not to just say, I trust God. Oh, yeah, I love Jesus. But to truly submit your life to Christ, it's a scary proposition. Like in those moments in the woods that I was talking about, when I'm walking and it's quiet and it's still, and you're having a conversation with God, and you're saying, Lord, I'm willing to submit everything to you. Are you willing to hear the answer? Are you willing to go where it leads? What if you're submitting to Christ and he says, you know what you're going to do? You're going to sell everything. You're going to sell your house. You're going to leave all your friends and family. You're going to move to Northern Michigan. And you're going to be a pastor at a church you've never heard of. You couldn't even find Dighton on a map.
Well, it's there.
I believe you. I'm standing right here. Are you willing to hear the answer? Are you willing to trust? Are you willing to say, God, I trust you so much. I know that peace is going to come when I dwell in your presence, but it might not look like I thought it would. I never imagined I would be pastoring a church in Dighton, Michigan. I can promise you that. I thought I'd be pastoring a church in Ohio. I lived there my whole life. Are you willing to submit to Christ and trust that peace will come? I started the sermon talking about how I've been reflecting on the past year. There is a sense of peace in my spirit, in my life, that I've never felt before in my life. And it's because I was willing to submit to him and to trust him that he was leading the process. And I've talked about it before. Every time that I led the process of looking for a job, right? Every time that I was looking for a job, door closed, door closed, door closed. Church, I'm telling you from experience, when you are willing to submit your life and come under the presence of Christ, true peace follows. I'm busier than I've ever been. I got more work than I can do. I have a sense of peace that I've never felt before in my life. Amen. Because I trusted Christ. In those moments of stillness, of having a conversation with God, I was willing to come under submission and say, Lord, take it away. I've been leading my life for too long. Here it is. Are you willing to submit? Are you willing to give control of your life over? Are you willing to say, Lord, I'm no longer in control. Everything that I am is all yours. That's when we find true peace. Which it's almost like I practice this. That's a good segue. Micah 5:5. And he will be the source of peace. When the Assyrians invade our land and break through our defenses, we will appoint 7 rulers to watch over us and 8 princes to lead us. Our next point is this: Jesus gives peace. He gives himself. It's interesting at the end of this verse, 7 rulers watch over us and 8 princes lead us. It's a poetic saying for there's going to be many that come. And then there's another saying in Job 5:19, from 6 disasters he will rescue you, even the 7th he will keep you from evil. 6 and 7, no guys? Come on.
No, no more. Please.
I worked all week on that.
No.
From the 6th disaster, he will rescue even to the 7th. Matt, come on. We talked about this. Yeah. You were supposed to be my guy. You were supposed to be my guy out there. You were probably taking good notes. That's what it was, right? Yeah, he was taking notes. That's why. Let's get back on track, guys. I don't know why you guys allow me up here each week. I really don't.
That was crazy.
I thought so as well. What does it mean to be the source of peace? And I was going back and the language to be the source. I was like, where in the Hebrew do we see this language used? And to be is, I mean, you can imagine, like, it's all over Scripture. But one place I found it particularly interesting was in Genesis 1:3. Then God said, let there be light. And so the same source that was used for light is the source of peace. Isn't that fascinating? That the one who created the world, created everything, the one who took us from darkness to light, also wants to be your source of peace. He wants to pull you out of the darkness into the light, to fall and dwell in him, that he will be your peace. That he will be your ultimate source of peace. Ephesians 2:14. For Christ himself brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. And so what does peace look like in your life? Like this is where we have been going for the whole sermon. And I kind of gave you a little picture into my life and what peace looks like for me. But this word of shalom is a very, very deep meaning. The Hebrew word shalom, it's so much more than peace. So much more. It means a wholeness about us. Like peace that they're talking about in this section is a peace that is in our whole body. Every part of our being is at peace. And Micah in this section is talking about peace from war because the Assyrians are on the doorstep. They're coming. They're going to overtake the land. And so the prophecy that he's talking about is we're going to feel this peace and this rest from our enemies. That even though everything is surrounding us right now, we can find the ultimate peace and rest, the wholeness that comes from Christ and Christ alone. That the baby that is to be born, right? And I said it at the beginning, like, I'm going to give you up to your enemies. My presence is going to be pulled away from you until the time that the baby is born. And then my presence will be back. It'll be with you. It'll go before you. That the ultimate peace is coming. What a lesson that is. Is that sometimes peace doesn't happen right away. Sometimes we actually have to wait and rest on the peace. We started out by saying that peace doesn't always look like we thought it would. Sometimes waiting on peace can be the hardest things in our life. Sometimes when our finances are upside down or we're having marital battles and it feels like the walls are closing in around us, or it feels like we're going to battle each and every day. We look around at culture and we're like, how in the world am I supposed to stand strong for Christ in this culture? We were having a conversation this morning about AI and what that looks like in the future. I was saying, like, when I was in high school, the internet was nothing. Like, we didn't care about the internet. And then when I got to college, it started to take off. And now we're at this place where cars are getting ready to drive themselves. Like, I feel a sense of uneasy about that. Like, that's not a peaceful thought for me. And I made the comment, like, did these people watch any of the movies from the 90s? Like, I've seen Terminator. I know how this ends. I've seen it. Did they not see that? The hand? Come on. I don't feel a sense of peace about that. And why is that? Because I feel like I need to control it. I need to be in control of that. That's something I can't control, so therefore I feel uneasy about it, a lack of peace about it. When the walls are closing in, this is where I'm going to land the plane. When the walls are closing in on you and your enemies are at your doorstep, Micah makes this prophecy, this promise, that the one who's going to be the source of our peace, the one that is coming, will allow us to fall under submission to God, and that he will be the ultimate source of peace. But he doesn't just leave it there. He said he's going to lead you. He's going to shepherd you. He's going to lead your life towards the ultimate peace a sense of peace that you've never felt before in your life is coming from a baby in a manger, from a very insignificant town that makes no sense. Yet here we are. God has called us to trust him, to fall under submission to him. And so I pray that this Christmas season, with all the craziness going on, shopping, Christmas, financial difficulties, marital battles, whatever it is that's going on in your life, I pray that your ultimate source of peace is Christ. I want to ask you this question. What are you trusting for peace besides the strength and presence of Christ? We often find false sources of peace in our life, right? If you got a good job, feels like a sense of peace in your life. Like you can check one thing off your box, right? Or you get a regular paycheck and then you check that off the box. That's a sense of peace. Or this is a tough one. My family's healthy. That's a sense of peace, right? Everything is going so well in my life. That's peaceful. I'm here to tell you those are all false sense of peace in your life. They might feel good, right? Regular paycheck, that's a good thing. But it's all a false sense of peace unless Christ is the center of your life. Because there is nothing in this world that will give you peace like Christ. And I bet if you're honest with yourself, you've thought the same thing. I've tried this, I've tried this, I've tried this. And I always feel a sense of missing something, a lacking of something. And so I pray this season that you would trust Christ with your whole life and say, Lord, it's all yours. I'm tired of driving this ship. Because every time I do it, I run it straight into the ground. If you've been running and trusting in a false sense of peace, I pray that this season you would give it up and stop kidding yourselves. Stop trying to manipulate and control the situation and to say, Lord, it's all yours. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. I mean, peace is just, it's one of those things that we strive for in life. Something that we want to grab a hold of and control. And we think we can manipulate peace in our own lives. That if we just get this, or we just have that, or this relationship is perfect, Lord, like that will be peaceful in our lives. Lord, I pray now that you would show us the false sense of peace that you have in our lives. The ones that we have been trusting and elevating in our lives. The ones that we have been placing above you in our lives. Lord, I pray for the people of this congregation that you would help us to put you first. That we would begin to elevate you above everything else. That we would stop trusting in anything else but your Son, Jesus, who came to us as the promise of our peace. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Isaiah 11, starting at verse 1. Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance, nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word. And one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. Here comes the promise of peace. And that day the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion. The little child will lead them all. The cow will graze near the bear. The cub and the calf will lie down together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put his hand in the nest of deadly snakes without any harm. How did the enemy come? In the form of a death, and darkness will have no power over us because the Prince of Peace is coming. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all the holy mountain. For as the waters fill the sea, and so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. And that day their heir to David's throne will be a banner of salvation to all of the world. This is the word of the Lord. I pray that this season, that you're willing to put your trust and your faith in Jesus. The one whose name drives out the darkness, the one whose name strikes fear into the enemy. The one who will give you a sense of peace unlike anything else. Be blessed, and we'll see you next week.